When I talk to my students, when I taught religious studies, I would often get them to think about the kingdom of God by talking about an earthly kingdom and saying, what sorts of things does an earthly kingdom have? There is a ruler who is ideally good and just and is responsible for bringing justice and the care and well-being of the people. And there is a people who are living together and working together in harmony and honouring the ruler of their, of that kingdom. It's another picture of the kingdom. We, as I already said, we're going to take a quick whistle-stop tour through Genesis today, because I think in Genesis, the first two chapters of Genesis, we get a clear picture of what God's intent is for creation. At the end of the Bible, the last two chapters of Revelation, as we've heard, also give us a picture. And Jesus in the middle, in the Gospels, presents us a clear picture of what it means for the kingdom of God to come. So we're going to look today a little bit at Genesis, next week a little stop in the prophets, and then the Gospels and beyond. So I have the text up of our passage today that we read earlier. At the end of the first account of creation. And we're just going to start off noticing some of the things we immediately notice in this account of creation and what God's kingdom might look like. And firstly, we notice that there is a king, there is a sovereign, there is a creator, and that is God. God does everything that is good. This is a good king. Everything God has made, everything and everything that God has made is good. In fact, very good. We might also notice that this king is paying attention. This is not a king who, or a God who created and then walked away. God saw everything that he had made and it was very good. This is a God who is paying attention. Just as a side this morning, There are situations in all our lives and we have ups and downs, and whatever your circumstances are, the Lord has noticed. The Lord is paying attention and the Lord cares. So we have a picture of a good king who has made good things, and the creation is very good. But to understand a little bit more, we're going to dig a bit deeper. And the context of this passage, well, there's only one chapter before this. So we'll have a look at that in summary. So I've got a little summary table here to cover the chapter before. The first point in the table, top left, God separates light and dark. And then separates sea and sky. And separates land and sea, three sets of separations. And that third box, I've got plus vegetation, because something extra happens on that third day. We've got these physical domains, but then life, plant life, something interesting and new and more than what has been there before. And then I've laid out this table so we can see there's a parallel. We had light and dark, and then we have the objects of light and dark, sun, moon, and stars. Sea and sky, then the creatures of sea and sky, the fish and the birds. The land, the creatures of the land. And then there's another parallel. Just as plant life, just as vegetation has a life and a quality that is more than anything that has gone before it, those physical domains, human life has a quality that is dynamically more than any of the creatures that were created before. There is a parallel there. Humans are created in God's image. Something amazingly more than anything that has gone before. At the high point, nearly the high point, the penultimate step of this creation story, the picture that we're given here. Humans are created and then deputized. God appoints humanity as his deputies, men and women, together. It's not actually something we just do individually. Humanity collectively is appointed as God's deputies to continue God's rule. And again, looking at this passage, what do we see of God's rule? What is God's rule like? Well, God is magnificently creative. Apparently, there are something around 80 million species of beetle. There's not 80 million beetles in the world, that's 80 million different species of beetles. How abundantly rich and creative is this God that we see? And we have a God who is magnificently ordered. And depending on your personality and temperament, you may or may not have a positive relationship with structure and order in your life. But our God takes joy in creating this ordered world, because this account has a rhythm, a beautiful rhythm in the words and in the pattern. And as we've already noticed, God is thoughtful and kind. Domains are created, habitats are created before the creatures arrive. Food is provided before the creatures arrive. There's a sequence here, a beautiful ordering in what God has done. Everything has a place. Everything has a purpose. Everything has sufficient. Just say that again. In this creation, the kingdom of God that he has inaugurated in the beginning of the world, God has created this magnificently creative and beautiful world where everything has a place, everything has a purpose, and everything has sufficient. What a wonderful picture. And then it doesn't end there, because the ultimate day, the final stage in this creation passage, is not just work, work, work. Everything has a purpose, yes, and everyone has a place and a purpose and a role to play, but work is not the end point. The end point is rest, where God enjoyed and said and noticed and said, this is good. And enjoyed the beauty and diversity and life in his creation. And we're invited into that rest to enjoy relationship with creation, relationship with God, relationship with one another. Some of you will know Genesis 2 has another account of creation which focuses on the relationship. And we actually almost see a little transition here on the day of rest with that relational focus. Just as I was preparing this, I happened on an image that I downloaded a little while ago. This is an artwork. I'll get the lady's name right. Her name is Safina Stewart. She is a Christian artist. She is an Australian Aboriginal artist, and she's drawing on historic art forms of her culture to represent Genesis 1. And I don't know how well you can see it, because it's quite detailed. The thing you need to know, apparently in this art form, humans are created, drawn from above as this little U shape. So wherever you see a little U shape, that's a person. So she's got, there in that first one, there is a triple U. Yeah, for a triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In the centre of a circle, a triple U with light and dark, and light and dark emanating out. And the second panel separates sea and sky. And the third panel, we see the emergence of land separated from the sea and vegetation bursting forth. And she's got gum trees, the vegetation of her home place. And then we see fourth panel, sun, moon, and stars, and you'll notice the Southern Cross. Then the creatures of the sea and creatures of the air. The sixth panel has two people. The man has a spear and the woman is carrying a plant. And above and below them are the tracks of all the different animals around the place. That's how animals are represented in this art form. And then on the final panel, you might notice hiding behind it, even foreshadowing early in this stage of the story, there is a cross. Yeah. And then again, in the middle of that cross is that triple U, triune God. And the ring around it, it might be hard to see because it's a detailed image. But in a ring around that is a whole lot of U's gathered in community, a whole lot of community gathered in rest and in worship around God and God's light, enjoying God's light and God's presence. It's not especially, I don't have anything particularly further to share with you from this, other than that I just think this is an amazing and beautiful depiction of Genesis 1 and someone's cultural heritage and art form. It's just a beautiful depiction of Genesis 1. So we see our God is abundantly creative, magnificently ordered. And the phrase, the word that came to me as I was preparing this is a sense of harmony. There is harmony amongst creation, amongst all, everything has a place, everything has a purpose, everything has sufficient. Everyone has a place, and there's a harmonious relationship between humanity and creation, between humans and other humans. God is present amongst humans, and we have a harmonious relationship with God. There is harmony, and harmony doesn't exist on its own. If you're musical, a harmony doesn't exist on its own. It exists in relation to the other parts. And having the different parts there brings out the goodness and the uniqueness and the special contribution of each part of the harmony. There is a sense of harmony in this creation. And I'm just going to give you a moment to notice that. What do you notice? What strikes you in this picture of the kingdom of God? Okay, as we know, it didn't stay like this. What we see now is a mixture of the beauty of God's creation and things that have gone wrong. Just briefly, we know Genesis 3, there is a combination of human choices, spiritual evil, and the results of broken harmony. Those three things, and we still see them affecting our lives today. But God didn't stop there when things were broken and things went wrong. God started a rescue plan, and some of you will know the story. End of Genesis 11, start of Genesis 12. We have the call of Abram. At this stage in the story, is called Abram, and his wife Sarai. From their country of origin, from their family, they are called away. They are called out of their comfort zone. And it's worth noticing that they are called out of their comfort zone. There are things they have to leave. There are comforts they have to leave to obey God. They are called out of their comfort zone. And God calls them. God calls them to be, he says, I will bless you so that you will be a blessing. And I will make of you a great nation so that all the families on earth will be blessed and all the nations on earth will be blessed. The thing I noticed in preparing for this is God starts with one. And I don't know how that sits with you, because sometimes when I look at the world around us, it seems you can think, where do we start? There's so much that's broken. But our God starts with one. He doesn't intend to finish there. Never intended to finish there. Always with an expansive vision. But God started with one family. One person, or perhaps more accurately, one couple. He started with one. And I think that's an encouragement to us. when we see the troubles around us and things that are not as they should be, God started with one. Our task is to start with one. So I've got a story for you. It's a story that's quite well known. You might have heard it. And here we have a picture of a beach after a storm with hundreds, thousands, probably tens of thousands of starfish washed up on that shore. Don't know how well, is that visible to some of us? Some of us, maybe it's a bit of fine details again in the picture. Thousands of starfish washed up on the shore. And the story goes that one day a man was walking along the beach after a storm to see something like this. And in the distance, he saw a boy. And the boy was bending and moving and bending and moving and bending and moving as he walked along the beach. And as the man got closer, he saw that the boy was picking up a starfish and carrying it carefully to the water's edge and putting it in. And picking up another starfish and carrying it to the water's edge and putting it in. And the man said to the boy, "What are you doing?" And the boy said, "Well, the sun's out and the tide's going out. So if I don't save these, if I don't take these starfish into the water, they will dry out and they will die." And the man laughed and said, "Young man, this is ridiculous. How can you possibly make a difference? Look around you." And the boy bent and picked up another starfish and carried it into the water and said it made a difference for that one. When you came in this morning, you should have got a cardboard starfish. There will be more at the back if you missed. Some are in vibrant orange, some are in a perhaps more accurate, although less vibrant, dark red. You're welcome to switch if you want a different colour. I used to teach, I'm used to that. My challenge to us this morning, now, as I said, I know many of us, myself included, have family and loved ones we pray for regularly that they would come to know the Lord. Please continue that. And my challenge to us, our local mission field is Stoke. This Stoke Valley is our local mission field. And there are things we see here. My challenge to you is to pray, prayerfully choose one. One person or one couple. Choose one. Write their name on the back. You don't have to do it now. You can do that when you get home. You might not have a pen. But you can write their name on the back and then stick it on your fridge or above the sink, on the windowsill, some on a mirror, somewhere where you're going to see it regularly. One person or one couple in the Stoke Valley, in our local mission field, that you will commit to praying for them. And praying your kingdom come. And this is a challenge to me as well. I have a situation recently where I've been alongside someone and the conversation started when she said she wanted to go back to church and re-engage with the faith of her childhood. And I'm praying for her to come to church. And then God's doing this in her life. And then God's doing this in her life. And I'm praying for this one. And it's like, okay, I need to pray for your kingdom to come in her life in its fullness. Because the priority and order that you have, you might want, Jesus might want to do things in a different order from the order that I want to do things in, can often be the way. So our challenge is to choose one and then pray, Jesus, your kingdom come in this person's life in its fullness, that they will come to know you. And whatever else you are prompted to pray, whatever else comes to mind from this picture we have of the glorious kingdom of God, of harmony, of sufficiency, of having a place, of having a purpose, of having dignity, of having connection with other humans and with God, of harmony. Can we do this stoke that list?
Amen.